Here we are on the Tuck Shop on 2SER, and you might have been able to smell it. You might have felt the bit of warmth in the air, and there's definitely a change coming in the last week or so because spring has arrived. Yes, the flowers are beginning to bloom, the magpies are at the ready, and everything is just starting to feel a little bit more alive. So it's fitting that our guest this week has just released an album called Regrowth. It's the work of Australian super producer Sampology, who you'll know well because we've played bunches of tracks from him over the years, and he's also worked with a whole bunch of amazing artists as well. Regrowth is a lush and layered album. It's a veritable feast of styles and collaborators and ideas, and it gets better and better with every listen. Take our advice, put on your headphones, and just let it wash over you. We're very excited to have Sam from Sampology here on the line right now. G'day, Sam.
Hey, how's it going? Such lovely words to hear. Appreciate that. Thanks.
Well, thanks so much for joining us on the Tuck Shop. Even though we can't be in the same room together, it's nice that we can all have these connections anyway and be on camera and you know, sort of, you know, because it's hard to promote records, right? Like, it's a tough time to bring out music. It's a tough time because you can't get out there so much. But you're in Brisbane, and I know that yesterday you played like 5 gigs. So that's pretty exciting that you've had that opportunity to launch your album at the start of spring and bring it out to the world.
Yeah, it was lovely day to play all those gigs, as you mentioned. It was definitely a weird sensation after like gigs not happening, gigs being cancelled, postponed. I mean, I don't need to tell you guys about that kind of thing, but like, it was special. Yeah. Brisbane Festival last year launched this thing where, because of COVID, they put bands on the back of a truck and they drove them around Brisbane different parks. So that was the first 3 gigs. And then me and First Beige, another Brisbane band who I've recorded as well, played at one of my favorite venues called The Zoo in the Valley. And then I did an hour set on a radio station a bit later in the night. There was meant to be an after party in there as well, but the venue fell through. So that would have been 6 gigs. But
yeah, wow.
Bizarre turn of events.
Well, that's fantastic. Did you schedule the release of this album, Regrowth, to come out on the week spring started? Was that intentional?
It wasn't initially. But afterwards, in hindsight, it seemed like a perfect thing to say. That was exactly the plan. So, bit of both, yeah.
Congrats on the record. It is really beautiful. There's so much going on in there. So many collaborators and styles and musicians are involved. A debut album is always really exciting. How long has it taken from the start till release day? How many years has it been?
There's kind of, like, I look at, there's a track called Saturn Returns with Lanius on it. That track in various forms was around about 6 years ago. And there's another track called Obi Emotional that was 6 months ago. So it's kind of everywhere in between. So I've released 2 EPs leading up to this album. So it's kind of, in my mind, it's all kind of one chunk of those EPs of Natural Selections and then Matt Glorious and this album of all being the same kind of creative, chunk of my life, really. Yeah. So it's really beautiful to put out the album because it's a kind of completion or of that point in time of where I've been at musically.
And you've put so much work into this, like it's mind-blowing. There's string quartets, there's woodwinds, there's full 20-piece choirs, vibraphones, and I think it's like something like 40 musicians have contributed to this all up. How do you do that? How do you get so much sound, so many pieces of this puzzle, and then somehow collate them and put them all together? Like, it's just mammoth.
It's kind of an exercise of patience because it was made over so much time, but like with a certain openness to seeing where things go, and at certain points having a plan of like, that's where I want to go and that's what it is, but it changing and going in different directions. And I feel like looking back on it now, I still need more hindsight, like more time to kind of look at it. But it's kind of a reflection of the kind of music I got into as a teenager, of kind of sample-based music, collage music, of, you know, some examples like, I don't know, Native Tongues, hip-hop kind of groups that are sample collaging stuff, Prince Paul, The Avalanche is a clear kind of one, DJ Shadow kind of thing. And that really influenced my biology as a teenager that's developing and listening to music. So while this album and my name, Sampology, sounds like it's full of samples that I've, you know, from my big record collection, there's only one kind of sample on it from a record, and the rest are just, bits of music that I've pointed microphones over those last years. And that's kind of, speaks to what you're asking about of, how do I put it all together? It's kind of, even though I'm recording so much stuff, I'm repurposing it and flipping it through those years in a really kind of just my own curiosity of where I want to take it. Yeah.
Cool.
This album, you know, as the title conveys, is all about growth and development and regeneration. How do you think your music and your production has developed over the last few years and through the course of this project in particular?
It's been a lot more pointing microphones at things. Like the last 4 or 5 years, I've just enjoyed hanging out with really talented musicians here in Brisbane. A lot of, you know, people that went through JazzCon here, like I never went through a higher education musical situation. And I think maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, I just started realizing I enjoy catching up with other producers like myself that have like maybe a DJ background and electronic background, but spending time in the same room with instrumentalists and that kind of thing. And sometimes I joke about like trying to steal their uni degree by just asking them lots of new questions, harmonic theory, all that kind of stuff, because I'm too, I don't know, lazy to like go through the con myself. But I think that's kind of influenced that progression in what I've been wanting to make come out of speakers at the end of the job. Yeah.
For sure. You mentioned there's only one sample on the album, which is in the first track. Why did you decide to move away from that kind of traditional sampling? Why did you think that, okay, for this record, I'm going to use all of the, you know, the music that I've made myself instead of pulling it from external sources?
I think it allows two things. I really personally love the result of having a body of music that both resembles that kind of sample collage-y feeling, but it also has a overarching tone to it through the tracks. Like even though I'm recording string quartets and horns and vibraphones that I played or harp I played, and I'm kind of flipping them and changing the pitch a little bit and that kind of stuff, and it has that sample-y feel, it's, you know, I'm using the same quartets throughout different tracks and it brings the whole thing together a little bit. And you just have more control of isolating the bass or isolating whatever you want. So that's the kind of creative result that I've realized. Like that's a cool opportunity to go for. But the other reality is also like clearing samples is hard and it takes so much money and it's not really like, in my situation as an independent artist, it's really like hard. I can't, you know, call in favors to be, I don't know, the manager of some huge band that's, I don't know, whatever. So, yeah. It's just fun pointing microphones at things. It's like a technical evolution that keeps me interested as well, pointing microphones at talented people. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. The idea that it's such an organic record and that the music and the sounds and everything you've created and it's brand new. And you must feel really proud of that when you listen to it and go, wow, this is obviously people, you know, play these instruments as well, but you know, you've created something from nothing. And that's a really exciting, you know, thought I would think for a musician like yourself to just know that that's such an organic piece of music that you've created.
Yeah, for sure. Like there's a track called Memories in Flight, which is the start of that one. For example, I'm just thinking like my friend was house sitting a couple's house that both of them play harp. So they had like three different harps in their house. So I just went over like, can I come over while they're away and just point microphones at their harp and just, I play harp for an hour. I don't play harp. I don't know how to play harp, but afterwards, I just kind of cut up all of those sounds, and it was the starting point of that track, Memories in Flight. Oh, and wow. Then I played vibraphone over it.
Very cool.
I enjoy that process of just capturing sounds and then cutting up sounds later.
Yeah. I remember you as a more of a visual DJ. When I saw you for the first time, I think it was in Canberra, maybe 10 years ago or so, and your whole DJ set was based around these visuals that you'd put up on a screen. And for me, it was such a unique way of presenting music, you know, because you don't see it a lot. You don't see music you get music videos, but when you go out to a live gig, you don't see visuals associating with the music as much. And I thought that was just an amazing concept that you had done there and marrying them together. Is that visual something, is that visual and imagery that you're sort of working on, is that something you still like to keep pursuing, and is that continuing with this project, this album?
Yeah, but in a completely different way. The visual component on this album serendipitously happened last year of I digitized my granddad's Super 8 footage from the 70s. There was hours of footage, and that kind of became the, yeah, the kind of visual backdrop to some of the earlier singles that dropped. The video clip of Memories in Flight, which I just mentioned, actually.
Yeah.
I found footage of myself at 8 on a green screen flying, which I remember the memory of the camera pointing at me, but I'd never seen the footage until I digitized it last year. So the little flying boy on the album cover and some of the film clips,
that's you.
The shape of me from that footage.
Oh, so good.
So it just kind of organically came about from, oh, maybe I should zoom on that. But in terms of the visual shows that I was doing 10 years ago, that was such, what I loved about that process was it was really creatively fulfilling, and just it wasn't something that a lot of people did. So there weren't really any rules, and just juxtaposing found footage video with audio and kind of playing off the emotion and juxtaposing the emotion or whatever. It was just so creatively fulfilling.
Yeah.
I did that for like 5 or 6 years. And then it got to the point where it's just like video editing just requires so much sleep deprivation. And like, it was that point of like, oh, I don't want to resent this really big energy demanding thing. I want it to be fun and that kind of stuff. And it was that point where I knew that was, oh, I think this is a creative chunk and I want to move into a new creative chunk. So as much as like for me personally, like the regrowth title of this album talks to a lot of the environmental, nature-y kind of vibes I've been going for the last 4 years of my music releases. For me personally, I actually think about like that move away from like the visual shows into like what I've been doing the last 4 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like the title can mean a lot to me or to whoever, you know, like.
For sure.
Can you tell us a bit about Blooming in the Streets? And we're going to play it in a minute. There's vocals from Seven Davis Jr. that are just amazing. It's such a brilliant track. Can you tell us about how that one came together?
Yeah, I've just been such a huge fan of his. Like, I can't say enough nice things about his own unique production as an amazing producer and just a vocalist and songwriter. And I hit him up and I didn't think he'd say yes, but you know, all you can do is ask. And he said yes on email. And I just gave it, I like giving vocalists sometimes a narrative and where I was at, like in my reflection on Brisbane and nature and stuff, I just kind of said, hey, you know, that feeling of like not knowing if you should stay in your city or move to another city to like go into the next chapter of your life, like that kind of grass is greener, like, not, it's not saying like this is what you should do, it's just like what should I do. So maybe like think about that in where you're at, and then also if there's some like nature-based metaphors, that's bonus points. So he went crazy. He went, yeah, I was amazed with what he came back with. Really beautiful stuff.
Well, it's such a solid track, and let's give it a spin now. Thanks so much for chatting to us, and we'll chat after the song too, but for now let's play Blooming in the Streets.
Make it. They say home is in the souls that you found.
Ah, that bass. And that beautiful song. That is Sampology right there from his debut album, Regrowth. Blooming in the Streets was the name of that one, featuring Seven Davis Jr. Ah, such a bop, that one. I love that bass line. Is that all yours, Sam? Or did you get someone else working on that one?
Sam, another Sam, Sam Maguire, who's also a producer under the name of Sam Stosur, who's on a side project of mine called Middle Name Dance Band. So he's like in Brisbane, I'm now called Sampo because when you hang out with multiple Sams, you need to differentiate. So I used to just be Sam. Now everyone just called me Sampo because we had to differentiate between
too many Sams in Brisbane.
Two Sams. Yeah, yeah. So I'm Sampo now.
Love it.
To the crew.
Yeah, as we were saying, you've worked with a bunch of amazing talent on this record. Yeah, I could name more, but there's Lanius, as we mentioned earlier. There's James Chatburn, Seven Davis Jr., of course. Silent J is on there. And Alicia Joy with a track we've played before on the Tuck Shop, which is just amazing. And, of course, all the instrumental additions as well. What's the process of recording when you can't be in the same studio together, or have you all been able to be in the same studio? Obviously, with Seven Davis, he sent you stuff from overseas, but is it very different when you can't be in the same space?
It's mostly in the same space for this one, fortunately. Oh, cool. So luckily, like with the lockdown last year, when everything, you know, went the way it did, I was in the stages of kind of bringing it all together and editing and mixing and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, all the choir and string quartet and stuff, that's me like lugging microphones to a room and recording it.
Yeah, you're pointing microphones, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, or just even this home space. I know people listening can't see it, but we're on a bit of a Zoomy chat. All the drums are recorded behind me in the record room. And
awesome.
I really have enjoyed pointing microphones at things and engineering, and just like that's kind of evolved into recording bands here in Brisbane. And during the time of the album, like recording an EP for Tiana Kasi, which came out, and Soul Has No Tempo and other stuff.
Yeah.
Fortunately, like I've been in the situation of being in the room for the most part for Great. This album. Excellent. So there's lots of, I'm fortunate enough that when I listen through to the record now, like I just remember all of the little memories popping up of like, oh, that was that day where we hung out, we did this, and then we came back and like recorded this. Or if it's just me in a room dark at night playing, you know, an organ or something myself, I remember what I was doing that day. It's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's suitable today's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to everyone out there, because this album's a real family affair, because not only, as we mentioned, your grandfather's footage and from the video Memories in Flight, but your dad also plays double bass on this album, I believe, on several tracks.
Was an excellent segue. That's brilliant. Yeah.
But then also your aunt's on viola and your mum has contributed to the visuals. The whole family got involved. How amazing.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's... I've spent in thinking about all like who's on the album and what's the energy of it and that kind of stuff. It's kind of made me realize that it's a really cool and just nice choice to use people that are around you. And you know, lucky enough, my dad plays in the Queensland Symphony Orchestra here. And my auntie did for many years. Taking advantage of that is like, you know, a really cool choice, but just kind of, Using friends and family and community. It's just the people that kind of like that made you who you are. It's like I feel like it's a cool inclusion to use, whoever you are. Yeah.
You're such an in-demand and reputable producer. You know, I feel like we kind of play a song at least every week that has you involved somehow. It's really great to see. What do you look for in a collaborator? And what's the most important thing to get right about that relationship between artist, producer, whether that's, you know, you working with other artists on your own project or on their projects?
I'm not really sure, but when you said that, it made me remember I was hanging out with Ali from Soul Has No Tempo that I released an EP on it's a Brisbane based label. And she was saying to me like, oh, I've noticed that like a lot of the people that you've produced or like you've worked with, it's their kind of like their first thing or an early thing. I hadn't really thought about that. But I spent a bit of time thinking about that. Like even the projects that I'm working on for other people at the moment for next year or whenever it happens, like it's newer artists or, older artists that I haven't, it's their like kind of early, their first things. I really, at this stage in like what I'm doing, I kind of have enjoyed doing that of like helping people, work out what the sonic thing around their personality will be. It's fun. And I think a way to do that is just spending lots of time with them. And, so Yeah, I think doing that in person is really essential for me, like, because that's the best way to, like, learn about someone and just their tastes and just have a music hang and play music to each other. So I think I'm going to keep doing that for a little bit, but I think maybe, like, when I feel like that's been done for a bit, it'd be cool to work with some, I don't even know if I want to work with bigger artists, but just, it's really, you're spending, like, it takes so much time and patience to work on a project that, like, has a sound rather than just a single. Like, you want to enjoy the time that you're spending with someone. So that's probably, that probably influences the decision more than anything else, maybe. Yeah, but I'm still thinking, it's a good question that I think about a bit as well. You don't want to resent, because all of this creative stuff takes so much time. You don't want to look back on the process and resent any part of it or feel like you've wasted any part of it. So you want to feel good about what you've done and what you're doing. Not even the end result, just like the time. Yeah.
Totally. And having that personal connection with someone must just go such a long way into creating, into, you know, making something good out of it.
And you can hear it in the end result when you listen back to the project, I think. Yeah,
definitely. And you have such an encyclopedic knowledge of music and you're a vinyl collector. What I really want to ask you, like, what music is really exciting you now? What are you really digging into?
I don't know why he just pops in my head, but, like, there's a, where is he originally from? He lives in Berlin at the moment. Abase, I think that's how you pronounce it. A-B-A-S-E. And there's a little squiggly boy above one of the A's. He's over in Berlin at the moment. I went over there at the start of 2019 to play some shows. Now that Ziggy Zeitgeist from 3070 is now living in Berlin, they're kind of doing stuff together. And then Wayne Snow, who's an amazing soul artist, is doing stuff with them as well. That just popped in my head. I mean, and then that jumps off into, like, all of the 3070 crew from Melbourne. There are all of their individual stuff, you know, and, like, Alicia Joy, you mentioned before, she's doing amazing stuff. And then I'm going to segue, my brain's just going all over the place, but in a kind of, you know, momentum, hanging out with, Finn from Close Counters and 3070 and Alicia, the last time I was in Melbourne, we had this conversation about, we're all such big fans of Broken Beat, early 2000s Broken Beat, like, not Breakbeat, but, like, Broken Beat Bruck sound, like UK kind of Bugs in the Attic or 2000 Black Label, Digo, Katie, Tatham, that kind of sound. And it's a very UK London sound. It kind of resonates with the kind of bright rhythmic thing that would make sense in Australia, and that there's potential there for, like, people to do stuff. And there has been some people doing stuff, like, yeah, like Close Counters and Alicia.
Yeah, First
and
Babe,
that's kind of an yeah. Well, and I feel like that's potential, and that's exciting to see where that thread goes. So I'm interested. I feel like the next year or two, there'll be maybe stuff that you can hear the UK influence of those Broken Beat Bruck sounds, but even Set One in Sydney. Like, I know he's even stuff he hasn't released, but I've heard him making. He's on that tip for sure. And yeah. I'm such a big fan of his.
Saw Set One live just in between the lockdowns last year. Amazing. And you've seen artists like Hiatus Cody go massive, but that sort of offbeat, you know, sound is getting really popular, I think. And First Beige, who you've worked with, like, they're unbelievable. I can't wait to see them live again, because they're just a band that has to be appreciated to see how they play that live. It's brilliant. It's such a brilliant chance to talk to you about this, and we thank you so much. We should mention as well that you do a radio show yourself on Worldwide FM. So you present, what sort of music do you present on that show? Because that must, you know, give you an opportunity to go out and look for new stuff.
Just music I like, really. But it's to, like, so throughout the month, like, I'm working on the playlist every day, but not really working because it's so much fun. Like, the whole month I'm just got an iTunes playlist for the next month, and then when I get a promo or a friend sends through stuff, I just put it in there if I like it. Yeah. So it's a mixture of, like, trying to represent to, obviously it's a global radio station, so, and being in Brisbane, I'm trying to represent music from Australia. And there's other the other three Australian shows are from Melbourne. So while there's so much music, most of the stuff that's the most, like, the best city for Australia to me is Melbourne in terms of, like, the amount of quality output. So for my show, I try and represent the Melbourne stuff, but also Brisbane and some, you know, Adelaide, Sydney, Perth as well. Just so for global listeners to be like, Melbourne's amazing, but it's not just Melbourne in Australia. Like, there's other cities as well. So kind of focusing on that, but there's really no rules with what I'm selecting for the show. Just, you know, new stuff, old stuff, but mostly new stuff from all over the world as well.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's such a pleasure to share stuff with people every month, yeah.
Well, preaching to the choir here, because this is what we love to do every week, is come on here and introduce people to new music. And we're hoping that today we've introduced people to Sampology. You've never heard Sampology before. Go and check out Regrowth. It is just a brilliant album. We really appreciate having a chat to you on a Sunday evening here, Sam. We're going to go out with a track called 10-Foot Flowers from the album. Jules picked this one. Why'd you pick this one, Jules? And then maybe, Sam, you can tell us about it.
I picked this one because I was having a wonderful time going on my, you know, daily walk yesterday. So I had big headphones on, was walking through a little bit of a forest in Centennial Park, which is a massive park in Sydney. And this came on and it was just a moment of like pure joy and peace. And it was just a really, really lovely song at that time. And I was like, no, we have to play this one because it's so beautiful. So please tell us how it came together.
It's actually my favorite track on the album. When I listen to the track, I hear like four or five different tracks I was working on at different times. Like the B section of the track might have been the A section for a completely different track that was slightly slower and I've sped it up. The choir was from this different thing and I brought it together. I just love soulful, lush sounds, but I also love acid house. And it was just like halfway through, I was just like, the two should be able to, there should be a place where the two work together and just taking the baseline component out and bringing it in. And yeah, the choir that I record is in the first half, and on the back end it's actually me singing all of the vocal choir stacks from that point onwards, which kind of harkens back to as a 10 to 15 or 16 year old, I was in a cathedral choir that whole time, you know, like singing 6 days a week.
Awesome.
But when I you know, got decks and discovered records, that was like totally not singing's not cool. DJing's fucking way cooler. Sorry for swearing. I'm not sure here. But the last couple of years, I've just been getting way more back into vocal music. I think it's that thing of when you're developing at an age, just vocal, like whatever you're listening to really affects your biology. And so I've been getting back into, yeah, just lushness, but in vocal music. There's so much, like that track is the perfect one for me listening to and just remembering so many different memories that went into that one kind of journey of a track, because it goes through different things. I played it last night at the zoo and that was the first time I played it in a sound system. It was cool. It was great.
Brilliant.
I just gave you so many details about that track.
No, that's amazing.
Off and on.
We couldn't have asked.
But yeah, I'm happy that you chose that one, Jules. Appreciate it.
Oh. I'm so glad it's also your favorite. Just love it. Kinship.
Yeah. Well,
Sampo from Sampology, thank you so much for joining us here on the Tuck Shop on 2SER. Good luck with everything, and hopefully we'll see you down in Sydney soon.
Big love. I really appreciate you too.